It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eaten Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is week 8 in the National Football League, and it is a very important time to listen to the Fantasy Feast podcast because, man, oh, man, there are a lot of teams on buys, so a lot of people need to go searching to see who else on their bench they should put in or maybe even guys that they can pick up that can help them out. We get it. That's why we're here. We're presented by FanVice.com, your one-stop shop for all your daily fantasy sports needs. Great tools, articles, even live streaming video casts. Make sure you follow them on Twitter at FanVice DFS, and check out the site FanVice.com. So, Evan, we got to get into all these games like we always do. We'll get your quarterback streamers, your defensive streamers. I think most of you already know this, but if you don't, he is the star of the show. He is Evan Silva. He is our guide to navigate all these teams having buys. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Evan Silva. He's the master of all he oversees at rotoworld.com. For my money, the best free fantasy football website on the planet, and he's pretty much in charge of all of it. He's kind of a big deal. I'm not going to tell you this, but he's kind of a big deal. Looking forward to getting your breakdown, Evan, of all the games momentarily. I also know that you pay attention to the lines, specifically the over-under numbers. And with all these games going on, all these events, the World Series, NBA, NHL starting up, it's a great time to join BetDSI.com for all of your sports wagering action. Since you listen to this show, BetDSI currently has a great promotion where you can actually try the site out for free. Just sign up at BetDSI.com and use the promo code Tucker15, and you'll get $15 to bet the NFL or any of this stuff. World Series, NBA, NHL, the election, whatever you want. Just go to BetDSI.com. That's the key, BetDSI.com. And use that promo code Tucker15. All right, Evan, let's start with the Thursday night game. It is the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And fantasy football is really the main reason to watch this game. Although I guess in the AFC South, neither one of these teams is out of it. Let's start with the Jags offense, man. I mean, what a disappointment. Do you think there's any way they break out of whatever's going on against the Titans?
Nope. Their quarterback is bad. Blake Bortles, in his career on the road, 2-14, averages 4 sacks taken per game. I guess people wanted to play Blake Bortles in daily fantasy last week. That did not work out at all. I thought pretty predictably, and definitely not looking at him in this spot. The Titans get a lot of pressure on the opposing quarterback. The Colts came up with a really effective game plan to limit that last week. A lot of quick throws, a lot of max protect. The Colts did a good job scheming against them and kept Andrew Luck clean. But I think that the Titans defense gets right against a bottom five NFL quarterback. And I love the Titans defense as a streamer, even after they disappointed against Indianapolis. I think that with Allen Robinson, you know, the targets have been there. The red zone targets have been there. It's hard for me to imagine that, like, a fantasy owner in a normal, you know, 12 team sort of league would be able to come up with a much better spot, a much better play in a week like this with 6 teams on bye. But I mean, I understand the hesitation. Like, I think that a popular 1-for-1 decision might be something like Allen Robinson or Davante Adams. Davante Adams, of course, coming off the big game in a good matchup, and Allen Robinson in a mediocre matchup against Jason McCourty, and just coming off a brutal game And I mean, I wouldn't fault anybody for going in the direction of Devontae Adams in a decision like that. The decision like that, Allen Hurns, you know, he's seen the most targets on the Jaguars since their week five bye, but that really hasn't amounted to much. I mean, he's not making big plays like he was last year, playing a lot of slot receiver. Marquise Lee, I think, is a really interesting DFS play if you are playing the Thursday slate. He is the minimum price on FanDuel. He has led the Jaguars in receptions in back-to-back games. The Titans' left cornerback, Parrish Cox, is out. We would have been targeting him, and his backup, Antoine Blake, is even worse. And Marquise Lee, based on where he normally runs his routes, he will get a lot of action against Antoine Blake. I mean, Marquise Lee has at least four catches in five straight games. So he's been reliable. And then I think that his outlook is enhanced if Julius Thomas can't play. Julius Thomas was out of practice on Tuesday with an ankle injury. And, you know, it's up in the air. Julius Thomas has not topped 30 yards in a game since week one.
What about the running backs?
No on Chris Ivory or TJ Yeldon. I guess people wanted to play Chris Ivory last week against the Raiders. You know, did not pay off. Has not had more than 13 touches in any game so far as a Jaguar.
Boy, this feels like one of the most disappointing fantasy teams, fantasy seasons I can remember in a while. Let's go to the other side.
No doubt.
With the Titans.
Yeah, so the Jaguars have been pretty good in pass defense. They're number 8 in pass defense DVOA at Football Outsiders. They don't get pressure on the quarterback, though. That is good news for Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota has put up some pretty nice fantasy performances recently. Just watching his games, I don't think that he is playing that well. He makes a lot of throws that just sail into the air off his back foot. And it just still seems like every sequence is like a down-to-down proposition. You kind of don't know what you're going to get down-to-down. With that said, I mean, the Jaguars do not get pressure on the quarterback. Marcus Mariota is a home favorite quarterback like that. He has been productive in fantasy. He does have playmaking ability. So even if he doesn't have a big passing day, I mean, the Jaguars have only allowed one opposing quarterback to go over 250 passing yards. Even if Marcus Mariota doesn't have a big passing day, which I don't think that he will, he can atone with his rushing production. So I think he's a fine season-long start. You know, not really on him in daily fantasy, but I mean, he's not a terrible play. I mean, the dude can rush for a touchdown and have a big game for sure. Delanie Walker looks like he's going to be good to go after some early week limited practices. The Jaguars have been super tough against tight ends all season long. Telvin Smith and Tayshaun Gibson have been big for them in tight end coverage, but you know, you're starting Delanie Walker every week in a season long league, especially in a week where we really don't know. More so than usual, we really don't know what we're going to get from the Titans wide receivers. Tajay Sharp has a knee sprain. I don't know if he's going to play. He certainly shouldn't be anywhere near fantasy lineups. Has not gone over 60 yards since week one. And then you know, the rest of the receivers for the Titans are just rotational guys. We saw Kendall Wright pop up in week 6 and then go back down in week 7. And that was kind of predictable. He's a rotational guy, and you know sometimes Rishard Matthews will have a decent game, but I mean this is a run first offense, and those are rotational receivers, and of course DeMarco Murray. I mean DeMarco Murray is probably the best fantasy running back play on the board in week 8 against a Jaguars defense that has not been great against the run. And we'll be missing nose tackle Roy Miller due to a torn Achilles.
Let's move on to the Bengals and the Redskins. They're across the pond over in London, Twickenham again. We'll start with the Bengals in this one. They are the quote-unquote home team. I guess I'm curious about their running backs as much as well as Eifert now that he played a little bit last Sunday.
Right. I mean, Eifert's usage should go up for sure. I mean, I think that, you know, I wouldn't have used him in a league last week, but I mean, I think now you're starting to use him. You know, it's just you're debating between, like, I would still rather use Vernon Davis, assuming Jordan Reed is out, and I think that he will be, based on a report from ESPN's Britt McHenry. I would still use, like, Vernon Davis over him. I would probably still use Jack Doyle over him, although Jack Doyle has a tough matchup, and we will get to that. But I would want to see it for one more week. I don't think he's a terrible play if you want to play him. You know, he's got touchdown upside. I don't think he's going to be a full-time player yet in their offense. And I would rather, you know, try to go with a guy who I knew was going to be on the field the entire time. The outlooks for Andy Dalton and AJ Green, I think, are kind of heavily impacted by whether Josh Norman plays. Josh Norman has been his usual shutdown corner self. This year, I mean, he just blanketed Marvin Jones last week until he suffered a concussion. And then Marvin Jones, of course, immediately rips two big plays and finishes with over 90 yards. But, I mean, you know, that's not something that we will know until later in the week. The good news is, for the Redskins defense at least, is that they've been getting a good amount of pressure, and they should be able to exploit the Bengals' liability right tackle, Cedric Ogbui, particularly with Ryan Kerrigan. So I don't love the spot for Andy Dalton and AJ Green, but you know, if Josh Norman is out, then I like them more, and that's not something that we will know until later in the week. It should be a Jeremy Hill week. It should be. Last week it was because he ripped some long runs. He actually didn't get very much work overall, but, I mean, he ripped some long runs, and this Redskins defense, we haven't really seen it exploited against some bad rushing offenses recently, but it is in position every week to get exploited, and Jeremy Hill would be the guy to exploit it.
Maybe I'm wrong. I guess the game's at Wembley. I thought it was in Twickenham, but it's in Wembley. Let's go with the Redskins offensively. Cousins had a pretty nice day against Detroit. They just didn't put the points up, and Matt Jones had fumble issues again because it was an odd week of the season. Have you seen his odd-even split, Evan? Isn't that weird?
I mean, he's just a fumbler, man. I mean, I think he's got 8 fumbles on about 270 career touches. That is just, you know, that they can't put up with that, you know. Rob Kelly they're talking him back up. Chris Thompson was the best back in the backfield last week. It's a tough situation to navigate. I think that Chris Thompson this week is the best PPR play. The Bengals have given up a ton of receptions to opposing running backs, and it's just a complete roller coaster with Matt Jones. You know, I don't think it's a good matchup. The Bengals have been good in run defense in every single game except for when they faced Ezekiel Elliott, which is starting to become a trend, by the way. Like, the Packers have been great in run defense in every single game except for when they face Ezekiel Elliott. And that's when you know that the Cowboys have something special going on. But with the Bengals, I mean, you know, I don't know what to do about Matt Jones. You know, he's a guy in a group of guys that you're considering to be one of your last starters, and you're worried about it. And, you know, that's all I've got on him. Kirk Cousins has been good in fantasy. That first game against the Steelers was so disappointing and disheartening, at the time that, I mean, we probably overrated it. Kirk Cousins has been good in fantasy with or without Jordan Reed. His quarterback finishes in Jordan Reed's absence are quarterback 13 and quarterback 5. That's a high floor, high upside fantasy quarterback. And the Bengals haven't been great in pass defense. I would say that they've been they've been very disappointing in pass defense. So I think Kirk Cousins is a solid season-long start. DeSean Jackson has been getting a lot of targets, just hasn't been hitting them. He has two games over 60 yards, just not hitting big plays. I think this is an okay matchup against for him, you know, against Dre Kirkpatrick, who is the kind of like big stiff hip corner who I think that DeSean Jackson can run by. But you know, he's a boom bust guy, and he's pretty much been that way for years. I thought that this year might be a little bit different in the pass first offense, but has not happened, especially with so many options stepping forward. Last week we saw Jamison Crowder have a big game in the slot against the Lions. The Bengals, though, have been lights out against slot receivers. Jarvis Landry disappointed against them. Julian Edelman disappointed against them. Cole Beasley didn't do much against them. I mean, Jamison Crowder's playing time is way up without Jordan Reed on the field, and that's good news for him. You know, again, he's like a guy that you're considering starting, and you're probably making your decision at the last minute on Sunday morning. Pierre Garçon, one game over 60 yards all year, thought he might play a bigger role last week in the absence of Jordan Reed, as he did in week 6, but that did not come together either. So Kirk Cousins is going to throw to the open guy, and I think that could very often be Vernon Davis, who has played almost 100% of the snaps in the absence of Jordan Reed. Last week got 6 targets, caught all 6 for 79 yards. You know, he's clearly earning Kirk Cousins' trust gradually. And he's another guy who's minimum price on FanDuel this week. And I'm going to have him in a lot of lineups, assuming that we have confirmation that Jordan Reed is out.
Here's the question in my mind, Evan. Are you going to have Shady McCoy in any lineups? Because the Bills say he's in the same boat he was in last week. The Buffalo Bills host the New England Patriots. And the Bills put a guy that it was reported, I think, on Thursday that he wouldn't play at all and might miss a few weeks in the game on Sunday. And he re-aggravated his hamstring.
I mean, what a joke. What a joke. You know, they did this with Sammy Watkins, too. They actually did this kind of thing with LeSean McCoy last year, too. It makes me upset inside that they would do that, you know, that they would do this. Like, I'm serious.
Can you imagine if he misses, like, can you imagine if he misses, like, 2 or 3 games now?
I mean, I don't know what to say. It's
short-sighted is what it is.
It's infuriating.
So anyway, here's the point. If he ends up being active on Sunday, what are you telling people to do?
Good luck. I don't know, man. Like, rub your rabbit's foot. I mean, I have him in some leagues, you know. It stinks. You know, you wish that the team would make responsible decisions, and I would rather have him not available, you know, so I can just move forward with pick up Zach Zenner and use him, you know, or use Mike Gillisley. And, you know, then everybody benefits. You know, the Bills don't have their star player aggravate his bulky hamstring, and, you know, we can all just move forward and take our wins and take our losses or, you know, whatever happens, let the chips fall where they may. I have no idea if LeSean McCoy is going to play this week. It was a joke that he played last week. We're going to have to make decisions late in the week on that. Tyrod Taylor has been a really good fantasy quarterback, a high floor guy with some upside weeks, even without Sammy Watkins, which has surprised me. I still really struggle to have a handle on when he's going to have big games and when he's not. But he's always got that rushing ability. And when he's putting that to use, which he has consistently now for about a month, that's going to make him a high floor and a high ceiling fantasy play. Against New England is a little bit worrisome. These teams did play earlier in the year, and the way that the Patriots defended him was essentially to take away LeSean McCoy. I think LeSean McCoy was held to 70 yards on 20 carries in that game, and kind of make Tyrod Taylor beat them. And he kind of did. I mean, he picked them apart in the short game. He was a pocket passer in that game. But now the Bills may not have LeSean McCoy. So I don't know. To me, I struggle with Tyrod Taylor. And I think he would just be an okay, not great fantasy start.
Got it. What about for the Patriots in this one?
Yeah, so this is the toughest matchup that Tom Brady will get so far, bar none. I mean, the Bills have allowed 4 passing touchdowns in 7 games. They are second in the NFL in sacks. They are in a rebound spot where they should really rise up for this game. I mean, after that stupid loss in Miami last week, they should rise up. And, I mean, this is their Super Bowl for sure. Again, and they already, they know that they can beat this team because they already beat them already in Foxborough. And I realized that was with Jacoby Brissett. But, I mean, we should see a big performance from their defense. I mean, you're not benching Rob Gronkowski. You're still starting Julian Edelman. You're still starting Tom Brady in season-long leagues. But you can't really be disappointed if any of them have relatively disappointing games. I think that Edelman is probably the safest bet. I know he hasn't ripped any big plays yet since Brady came under center, but he's got target totals of 10, 7, and 10. He had 9 catches last week, and he's just a tough guy to cover. And the way that the Patriots have approached these games against Rex Ryan over the last 2 years, I went back and looked at them all, really, really pass heavy. Not a lot of running back carries. They are going to throw the ball against this defense, and they are going to try to beat them in the middle of the field with Gronk, with Martellus, with Edelman, with James White. The matchup doesn't set up well for LeGarrette Blount, but, dude scores a touchdown every single week, and we saw Jay Ajayi run all over the Bills' run defense last week. So I would – I would have a hard time benching LeGarrette Blount at this point when he's such a good bet just to give you a touchdown. So that's kind of my take on the Patriots offense. Martellus Bennett's snap rate has decreased in every game since Gronk returned, which is absolutely concerning. I mean, he's not a guy that we can count on week to week as an every week fantasy starter. He's just in a group of guys that you're considering starting, whether you're maybe streaming a guy off the waiver wire or using Martellus Bennett. He's kind of in that group. And then Chris Hogan got benched last week, at least temporarily, for losing a fumble, and he just has not really seen any targets since that Cleveland game where he only saw 5. And I mean, he caught all 5 and beat Joe Hayden for a 61-yard catch, but he's just not getting enough work. You can't count on a dude who's getting 1, 2, 5 targets.
Let's move on to Arizona and Carolina. Carolina coming off the bye. Arizona remains the David Johnson show, and Carson Palmer remains unimpressive. I don't even know if there's anything to say about David Johnson anymore. I think we all know what the deal is there. What about the receivers and Carson Palmer going against that suspect Carolina secondary, Evan?
Yeah, man. Carson Palmer did play relatively well against Seattle, I thought, in the last game. But I don't know if I trust him yet. I mean, this is a good matchup for him on paper for sure. I mean, the Panthers are a pretty classic pass funnel defense, to where they will slow down your running game, and they will force you to move the ball in the air, and they don't rush the passer, and they have bad secondary play. I mean, legitimately bad secondary play. It looks like they'll be getting the rookie James Bradbury back. He had some nice moments early in the year. Remember, he had a really good game against Stephon Diggs, but he's also a guy, I mean, he's a rookie out of Samford, so he's not really a guy that we're fearing. I think that this is kind of a now or never game for Carson Palmer. You know, I think that he makes sense as a fantasy start, but I really don't trust him. He hasn't been good in fantasy since week two. He has two touchdown passes since then. The last time that we saw him, he committed six turnovers against Carolina in that NFC title game. So he's okay, you know, but I don't love it. Michael Floyd got banged up in the last game, but I think he should be good to go. I think John Brown will be good to go. This is a tricky situation with the sickle cell affecting, you know, causing pain in his legs. I mean, that's just something that we'll have to see about. Larry Fitzgerald, great spot for him. He will be matching up probably with Robert McClain in the slot. And, I mean, that's something that he should win, you know, 10 times out of 10. Really, really, really good spot for Larry Fitzgerald. On the other side, David Johnson had 41 touches against Seattle. 41 touches. I mean, that makes me want to stash Andre Ellington in season-long leagues. Like, if I can find a spot on my bench, you know, I would put Andre Ellington there. Did that with Mike Gillisley in a lot of spots a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, might come out of that with something useful. For Carolina, I think that this is an underrated matchup, because you have the Cardinals coming off an emotional late night, Sunday night in primetime tie against Seattle, and now heading on the road to face a Panthers team that is coming off of its bye. I think that people will be off Cam Newton in daily fantasy this week, and I don't think that they should be. The Cardinals play a lot of man coverage, and what happens with man coverage teams is their cover guys will end up turning their backs to the defense and, you know, running with the guys that they're covering. And, you know, so as a result of that, the Cardinals have allowed the most rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks in the NFL entering week eight. And that's without having allowed a big rushing game last game to Russell Wilson. So, this is a legit statistic that isn't just pumped up by Russell Wilson last week or something like that. And last time we saw these teams play, Cam Newton had almost 400 total yards and four touchdowns. I mean, you know, this is a healthy roster right now. I think that if you're going to play Cam, you stack him up with Greg Olsen in daily fantasy. I think that Kelvin Benjamin will probably struggle against Patrick Peterson. Or you could just play Cam by himself. I think that that makes sense as well. I mean, the Panthers need this win badly, man. They are 1-5, and I think that they get it.
Interesting. All right. Well, let's keep it moving with the Jets and the Browns. Geno tears his ACL. He's out. Fitzmagic is back in. Forte got 30 carries last week, Evan. Talk to me about it.
Dude. I mean, I'm going to sound like an idiot here, but I started Bilal Powell over Matt Forte in a league last week. Bilal Powell finishes with 4 carries for 18 yards. And Bilal Powell gets 34 touches for like over 150 yards. Matt Forte gets over gets 34 touches for over 150 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, it seemed like Matt Forte was just dying for the previous 5 weeks. And, I mean, Bilal Powell was, like, playing more than him and catching more passes. And, you know, then all of a sudden against the Ravens, who have, like, the best run defense in the NFL, Matt Forte just is gashing them up the middle. I mean, they attacked the Ravens right up the middle, and Matt Forte crushed them. And the Browns have played, I think, above their heads in run defense so far this year. We saw them give up a lot of production to Jeremy Hill and Geo last week. So hopefully Matt Forte can, kind of parlay his success from last week into more success in another good matchup. Ryan Fitzpatrick is on the streamer radar, and I know it's tough to stomach, and it's going to be tough to stomach when we talk about Brock Osweiler as well. But these quarterbacks have the best possible matchups this week, and I would bet that one of them has a pretty big game, if not both. I mean, we have seen the Browns give up big games to quarterbacks who have just done nothing in their other games. Ryan Tannehill, Joe Flacco had multiple touchdown passes against them. I mean, the Browns, dating back to last season, have given up multiple touchdown passes in 15 of their last 16 games. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is, especially with six teams on bye, very much in the streamer conversation. And I think you play him, if you want to play him in daily fantasy, you obviously play him with Brandon Marshall. The Browns, you can read my column on Thursday, but the Browns, for more on this, but the Browns have given up just an incredible amount, like just big games, every game, sometimes multiple, to opposing wide receivers. And Quincy Enunwa saw only four. He broke that big play with Geno in there. It was a 69-yard catch and run touchdown. Awesome to see him make a big play, but he only saw four targets, and his target totals are over the last five games are like 11, 7, 5, 5, 4. And, you know, even though he made that big play last week, you can't really feel comfortable with him as a fantasy start. But, you know, again, this is a great, great matchup. I'm going to be starting him in one league. I don't love it, but I know that the matchup is there, and so I don't hate it either.
What about the Browns offensively?
I mean, Kevin Hogan, this is going to be tough. I mean, I think you're looking at the Jets fantasy defense. I think that if you just don't have any better options than Terrell Pryor, you know, you're just kind of crossing your fingers and hoping that everything goes okay. Gary Barnage is, you know, the matchup looks good on paper. The Jets have given up a lot to tight ends, but you know, I don't trust Gary Barnage with Kevin Hogan in there. I mean, he hasn't been scoring touchdowns anyway.
All right, good talk on the Browns. Let's move on. And you want to get into the running backs or no? You're going against a pretty good Jets defense.
Yeah, it is. I think that you like Duke Johnson, because theoretically, like, Kevin Hogan can end up checking down a lot. We finally saw Crowell have a decent game last week, but this is the Jets run defense, and he isn't going to have a decent game this week.
All right, I will be in Houston. Evan, you've already hinted at this one a little bit, but I will be in Houston. It is the Lions and the Texans. Let's start with the home team, the Houston Texans. Your boy Lamar has still looked pretty good. He got banged up Monday night a little bit. Short week for the Texans going against the Lions D.
Yeah, so going into Monday night, I was like in 30th place or roughly that in a bunch of contests on on one of the daily fantasy sites, and I had Broncos defense left, and all the people ahead of me were done. So all I had was to go up, you know, and all I had was room to climb, and I thought I had a shot to like win like a bunch of tournaments because I thought that the Broncos defense would just dominate Brock, but the Texans come out in this game plan where it's like they, you know, so the it makes sense for them to obviously get the ball out of Brock's hands quickly, but they would rather like get than take any chances. They would rather just throw the ball to where no guy is. And they end up giving up one sack and, you know, they took one sack and they had like one interception. And, you know, I got 9 points out of the Broncos defense in a spot where I thought that I could get like 20. So that was frustrating. It was still a good week, but it would have been awesome to just like nail a bunch of different tournaments. Brock Osweiler, I think, has a chance at a good game against the Lions. I mean, Case Keenum was the number 2 overall fantasy quarterback against the Lions in week 6. The Lions have given up multiple touchdown passes in every single game that they've played. I'm sorry, multiple touchdowns to the opposing quarterback in every single game that they've played. Last week, they gave up well over 300 yards to Kirk Cousins. Only one touchdown. He did run for one. And he was the number 5 overall fantasy quarterback against the Lions. And now the Lions defense goes on the road. Doesn't look like they'll have Darius Slay, their top corner, who left last week's game with a hamstring injury and did not return. Not good for him. I mean, we're going to really like the matchups for the Texans pass catchers. The Lions get destroyed by tight ends. They don't have Darius Slay. So we want to use DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller and even C.J. Fedorowicz for sure. So we should also be on Brock Osweiler this week as a streamer. And I know it doesn't feel comfortable. Same deal with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Already talked about that. But he's not going to get a better matchup for the rest of the year. He's going to play indoors at Reliant Stadium against the worst pass defense in the NFL. And I think that Brock Osweiler has like comes out of this thing with like 240 yards and 2 touchdowns, and that can help you in fantasy football. Need to check on the injury situation with Lamar Miller, but I think early week indications are that he's going to be fine, and he should resume his role as the feature back. Alfred Blue did have some nice runs against Denver, but I mean, I think it's Lamar Miller's backfield.
All right. What about Lions offensively against the Texans D?
Tougher spot. You know, a lot is contingent on these injured guys, Theo Riddick and Eric Ebron. You know, the beat writers always think that Theo Riddick is coming back, and then he never does. I don't know. I mean, we haven't really heard anything on Eric Ebron. It's a tough matchup on paper for the Lions passing game, which is really all that they have right now. Really don't have very much of a running game. You know, Dwayne Washington was supposed to return last week, didn't. The Texans are number 7 in pass defense DVOA. Only 3 opposing wide receivers have topped 70 receiving yards against them through 7 games. They're above average at generating pressure on the quarterback. Did not really see that very much against Trevor Siemian on Monday night, but over the course of the season, they've been pretty good at it. I think that Matthew Stafford is not a great fantasy start. I think that Marvin Jones is not a great fantasy start. And I think that if Riddick and Ebron are out, then Golden Tate has a chance to eat again. I mean, we've seen him eat now 2 games in a row. I should say that I don't think that Marvin Jones and Matthew Stafford are bad season-long starts, but they're, you know, nothing really jumps out here like, oh yeah, I really want to start them. They're just options that you're considering.
All right. Well, then I guess we can move on and look at the Kansas City Chiefs in Indy against the Colts. The Colts O-line played much better for Andrew Luck and the gang in Tennessee on Sunday.
Yeah, now they face a Chiefs defense. I love this game, by the way. Now they face a Chiefs defense that is not getting any pressure on the quarterback. I mean, the Chiefs are dead last in the NFL in quarterback hits. They are second to last in sacks. They are not getting Justin Houston back this week. I think Andrew Luck could really tear it up against Kansas City, which got torn up by Drew Brees, and then two games before that got torn up by Ben Roethlisberger. And in between, I thought that Derek Carr would have a good game against them, but I think the wind played a big factor in that game, that Kansas City-Oakland game. And then, the Raiders just got dominated in time of possession by the Chiefs, which, I mean, that's in play again here. Spencer Ware should have a big game running the ball against the Colts defense, but the matchup is good for Andrew Luck. I really like him when he's facing a team that can't rush the passer. He has been really good this year. I mean, he's not, you know, people are not really giving him a lot of love. The Colts haven't been winning a ton of games. But I think that if the Colts beat the Chiefs at home, and the Chiefs, you know, a lot of people still consider them a good team, and I understand they have been. If they win this game, then I think people will start to talk about Andrew Luck again. He's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback in four straight weeks. He's balling with T.Y. Hilton. There is a chance that they get back Moncrief and Dorsett this week, which, I mean, can only help Andrew Luck's cause. Hilton is like uncoverable. He's so good. They run him on vertical routes out of the slot, which is sweet because it gets him matched up with a nickel corner who's usually the team's weakest corner, and then he's popping vertical routes from in good matchups, which is awesome. Chiefs never move Marcus Peters, and last week, man, the Chiefs slot corner Steven Nelson, he just got blowtorched by Drew Brees. I mean, they targeted him in the double digits. They went after Steven Nelson, and goodness, that is a sweet matchup for T.Y. Hilton this week. You know, if everything kind of plays out the way that it looks like on paper. Jack Doyle has a bad matchup on paper. The Chiefs use Eric Berry in man coverage against tight ends. But I don't know. I mean, are they going to use Eric Berry against Jack Doyle? I guess they probably would. I still don't think that Jack Doyle is a bad fantasy start, though. I mean, he's their possession receiver. I do think that you got to downgrade him a little bit if Moncrief and Dorsett come back. But I wouldn't be afraid to trot Jack Doyle back out there again, man. I mean, he is their go-to possession receiver, and he's seen a bunch of red zone targets this year. He scores touchdowns. He's good, man. He's a dad runner, but he's a good dad runner.
What about the Chiefs offensively?
Yeah, so the Chiefs offense is kind of, it's like they want to play a certain way, and then if their opponent is able to put them in positions where, they will be more aggressive, then they will be more aggressive. And I think that the Colts should be able to put them in those kind of positions this week. I know that Jeremy Maclin has been an incredible disappointment this year, believe me. I mean, I tried to play him in DFS early in the season, and I've just been totally off of him since then. And I'm probably not playing him in DFS against the Colts, but I would probably use him in a season-long league against Indy just because I think that this game has a chance to be high-scoring at Lucas Oil Stadium, in the Dome, against a red-hot Andrew Luck. So I would start Macklin in a season-long league. I really like this spot for Kelce. I'm not sure anybody will be on him this week in Daily Fantasy, and I think he might be my favorite DFS tight end. The Colts just get creamed by opposing tight ends. Got Delanie Walker out of his slump last week. I mean, the most efficient way to attack the Colts defense is to throw passes to your tight end, bar none. CJ Fedorowicz ripped them up. I mean, they get crushed by tight ends every week. And if this game is a little bit up-tempo and high-scoring, I think that Kelce can have a really big game. Spencer Ware is the man. You know, we talk about it every week. He's the guy in Kansas City, and you know, we'll see on Jamaal Charles. Will he be available for the change of pace role? I don't know.
Really, really good stuff, Evan. I am already excited for part two mañana, so we can check out the rest of the games that you break down and refresh everybody's memory in terms of the defensive streamers, the quarterback streamers. Other than that, for today, I just want you guys to check out DraftKings.com. If you listen to this podcast, you're into fantasy football. You already know what daily fantasy is. You get it. You got it. You know it. Here's the deal. DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football, and here's the deal we have for you. If you use the code FEAST, you get to play free with your first deposit. That's code FEAST to play free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See site for details. Like I said, Evan, that's it. I'll do it for part one. It's been brought to you by FanVice.com, the home for all your daily fantasy sports needs. Keep an eye out for my Tucker in the Trenches segment that's on FanVice.com every week this NFL season. And make sure you follow them on Twitter at FanVice DFS.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at RossTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
I did it. I finally did it. I got a new car. I've been talking to you guys about it for a while. I got a new car. I needed one. My other one died. I got a new Denali. And I used TrueCar because why wouldn't I? I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for months now, and it's just a better experience. I mean, you're able to lock in the savings with a dealer on the website. They've got a huge certified dealer network. So if you're not sure how it works, you just go to the TrueCar website or you use the TrueCar app, and they've got this bell curve. It's a pricing curve that shows you exactly what that vehicle you want is going for in your local market. And then you can actually online connect with a TrueCar local certified dealer of your choosing, and you lock in the savings off the MSRP. You just go in, you hand them the certificate that you printed out off your computer, and boom, you're good to go. Over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.